Archers for the week 26 September to 1 October 1999.
And the third! Go on, Chris! You can make it! Yay! Well run!
How many is that?
That's 28 to Chris Mills. 71 altogether.
71 in less than an hour. Brilliant, or what?
It's a little early to be gloating, Roy.
At this rate, we're going to set you a target of over 200.
Remember what they say about counting chickens?
That drop catch in the second over is proving rather expensive.
Yeah, but then Ambridge was never much cop when it came to fielding.
Oh,
that's not fair.
It's one of the reasons I joined Darrington.
You can't condemn the entire team just because Tony fumbles one catch.
Ah!
Oh, well done, Robert.
No way was that LBW.
Yes, it was.
See? Burt's given him not out.
Oh, Rick.
Right, end of the over. 12 runs off that one.
That was definitely leg before, wasn't it, Phil?
It's difficult to tell from this angle. Though I have to say, I wouldn't put much faith in Burt's judgment just now.
Exactly. He's still in a state of shock.
Because of that lorry crashing into his house.
Yeah, it made a terrible mess.
Yeah, I know. I've seen it.
Who's this coming on to bowl?
Oh, that's one of our stand-ins. Dylan, I think his name is. You see, with Duncan being on holiday and Tommy unavailable...
Is this one of Sid's famous tactics?
What?
The regular bowlers can't make any headway, so you bring on some joke bowler.
Oh, I don't think this Dylan's what you'd call a joke.
Talking of unfamiliar young men, who's that with Debbie Aldridge?
Where?
Over there, by the chestnut tree.
Oh.
Don't know about young.
That must be Simon.
She seems pretty keen on him.
Yes, I do wish people wouldn't carry on like that in a public place.
Oh, look, your man Dylan is starting his run-up. Let's see how Chris deals with it. Hey! Oh, I don't believe it!
Oh, well, bowled.
Look at that.
Bad luck, Chris.
Took the middle stump right out.
Yeah, beautiful ball.
Oh, he's a bit fast, isn't he?
He certainly is. Who's on next?
Oh, Sean. Oh, well done, mate. Thanks.
Yes, fine innings.
Up until that last ball, I didn't even see that coming.
Well, I'm not surprised.
Who is he, that bloke who's bowling?
Oh, he's working for one of the Ambridge farmers.
I wonder if he'd be interested in playing for Darrington next season.
Oh, he'll have gone back to New Zealand by then.
You mean he's a Kiwi? Oh, terrific.
Is everyone who comes from New Zealand good at cricket?
Well, these two certainly are.
Two?
Yes. There's Dylan, who's bowling, and Kyle, who's fielding a long leg. He's quite good with the bat.
Oh, great. Now he's starting his run-up.
Let's hope Sean can do a bit better than me.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no.
I don't believe it.
Well held, Alistair.
Caught behind for a duck.
As I was saying a little earlier, Roy, it doesn't pay to go counting chickens.
Ooh, that young New Zealand fella's a bit good, isn't he?
He wasn't all down to him.
Oh, come on. 188 for seven. Never have managed that without Dylan's bowling.
We'd have done even better if you'd been paying proper attention.
Who are you talking to me?
The last ball of the 12th over.
Eh?
It was obviously LBW.
Well, before you goes accusing other people of not paying attention, look to the beam in your own eye.
What?
Well, I've only got two words to say to you. Larry Lovell.
What? Please.
The pantomime.
Don't talk to me about the pantomime. I have washed my hands of the whole business.
Well, you shouldn't have. If you'd been paying proper attention, he wouldn't have stolen a march on you, would he?
Now, look here, Bert.
You've let the whole village down, you have.
Come on, Bert. Bert, come with me. Nice to tease what you mean.
Well, so you've got a darn nerve accusing me of falling down on the job.
Oh, dear.
What on earth brought that on?
Oh, what's going on?
It's all right. Bert just got a bit upset.
Oh, I knew he was still a bit shaky.
Phil, have you seen Shula? I can't find her anywhere.
Oh, she had to go home to feed the hedgehogs.
The what?
Oh, Daniel found some baby hedgehogs.
Ah, well, I hope you told him not to touch them.
Yes, but unfortunately he did.
Oh, no. Well, sometimes it's all right if you put them straight back.
Yes, Linda, I know. But
what you do is you sprinkle a little talcum powder around the nest.
Yeah, we tried that, but the mother didn't come back.
Well, in that case, you must get straight on to a sanctuary. I've got the number for some tiggywinkles.
Yeah, well, Daniel was too upset. Better part with them. So we've decided to try and raise them by hand.
What you need is goat's milk.
Yes, I know.
They're lactose intolerant.
Yes.
Linda, I think Robert's trying to attract your attention.
Oh, I'll drop some round for
you. Yeah, it's all right, Linda. We've got enough to be going on
coming,
with.
Coming, Robert!
Oh, Lord.
Anyway, Shula said she'd come straight back. Said she didn't want to miss Ambridge's innings.
Yeah, it's turning into quite a match, isn't it?
Marvellous. Jill's going to be sorry she missed it.
She not here?
No. We moved back into Brookfield yesterday, you see.
Yes, so I heard. And Bert and Frieda have taken over the bungalow. Mm,
and Jill's so delighted to be back in her own house, she decided to spend the afternoon unpacking and putting everything away.
How is it, all of you living under the same roof?
Well, fine, so far. Although Ruth and David have certainly made their mark on the place.
Oh, come on, Neil.
We're never going to get 189 at this rate.
He'll still get that crease come the millennium.
Talking of which...
Huh?
I never thought of it before, but of course it will be one of the big events of the year's term.
What?
The pantomime. Perhaps I should have taken a lead. By the way, is it true you got an all-night licence?
What?
For New Year's Eve.
Oh, that's right.
You didn't think to consult the Millennium Committee?
I don't consult anyone about how to run my own business.
And we do have plans underway, you know.
Ah, good for you. Oh, no! Pull your finger out, Neil! Give it some welly!
Must you shout like that?
He wants to get off his backside.
We're having a bonfire on the green and a hog roast.
When?
New Year.
Oh, fine. Just so long as he's not selling beer.
Well, of course not.
In fact, that starts me having to worry about what I'm going to feed me all-night drinkers on. Oh, watch out, Alistair.
Oh, yeah?
Painful, isn't it?
Oh, I told him. I said, Neil, it's caution to the wind time. You've got to go for the strokes.
Yeah, he's not going to change the habits of a lifetime now, is he?
Obviously not. Go for the runs, Neil!
Please, I wish you wouldn't do that.
I told him not to put him in first.
He always goes in first.
Because he's steady, but we don't need steady today. We need verve. We need panache.
We need runs.
Yes, go for it! No, you daft bigger, you're not going to make it!
Oh. What happened there?
Run out!
David was yelling at him to stay put.
You don't think...
What?
..that maybe David let him get run out?
What, deliberately?
Oh, I tell you, if I've been in David's shoes...
Oh, no, come on,
Seth. Who on earth is that?
Where?
Going out to bed.
This is our other secret weapon.
The other Kiwi.
But Robert always bats at number three.
Yeah, I decided to move Carl up the order.
But... it is a universally acknowledged fact that Robert is the most elegant bat in the Ambush team.
Elegant he may be, but he ain't got the clout of this fella. I mean, just look at them shoulders.
Yeah, well, let's just hope he can do what he did last week at Nets. Come on, Kyle.
Oh! Brilliant! That's the stuff!
Say, that was rather good.
It was fantastic! Yes!
A few more like that, Kyle, and we'll have them on the run!
How many overs is there?
31. We've got 9 left.
We need 43 runs to win. Less than 5 and over.
Should be a piece of cake.
Except we're running out of batsmen.
I know. Damn shame William got out like that. He's just getting a new stride.
Well, there's you and Dylan.
Who, I'm afraid, he's not much cop with a bat.
And Tony.
We just need to keep Kyle on strike. He can knock off 40 runs in a couple of overs if he puts his mind to it.
If Alistair could just get himself down the other end.
You see, this is when we should have played, Neil. We need someone steady at the other end.
Alistair's pretty steady.
Usually. He's playing like a big girl's blouse this afternoon. Oh. Yay! See what I mean?
Oh, dear.
Straight into the bowler's hands. What a prat.
146 for 7.
All right. Looks like it's down to me, then.
Good luck. Try not to get out.
I'll see what I can do.
I can hardly bear to watch. Oh, dear, that was close.
I don't think that's at all sporting.
What?
Well, having the fielders all crowded round him like that, it must be thoroughly intimidating.
It is.
That's why you got caught first ball, was it, Sid?
The point is, Linda, we only need 5 runs to win.
Yes, I know.
But this is the last over, and we've got 5 balls left.
And we've already lost 9 wickets.
What we need is to get Kyle back to the striker's end. So somehow Tony's got to scramble a quick single.
And obviously Darrington know that's what he's trying to do, so they brought their fielders right in.
Yes, Tony, go for it!
Go on! Get between the fielder and the ball!
Run, Tony!
You can do it! Yes!
We haven't won yet.
No, but we've got Kyle back on strike and we only need 4 more.
If he bats like he's been doing for the rest of the afternoon.
Yeah, he's done brilliantly, hasn't he?
Against some pretty sharp bowling.
Ah, yes. There's one thing Darrington's not short of is decent bowlers.
Yeah, I wonder if we can tempt Sean to come back and play for Ambridge next season.
Well, if we can try and poach one of the Darrington team, we'll go for Sean.
Oh, here he comes.
Fingers crossed.
Oh! What happened there?
He missed it completely.
It's the first time he's done that all afternoon.
Yeah, it was a pretty ordinary ball, too. Didn't look like it turned at all.
I'm afraid the tension's getting to him.
I'm not surprised.
Oh, please, Kyle, don't go losing your nerve, not at this stage.
Only three more balls. He's got to get four off three balls.
Come on, Kyle. The pride of Amidge Cricket Club's hanging in the balance here.
Here comes Sean.
Oh, yes.
Yes! Yes. Yes. Oh, that's it!
Yes! Yes. Yes.
Oh, well done, everyone. Lovely. What a marvellous match.
Congratulations. Oh, thanks, Chris.
Hey, what a brilliant game.
Fantastic, wasn't it?
Well done, everybody. Where's Robert? Robert!
I just can't believe it.
Northerner, what a great end to the season.
That's got to be our best performance of the year.
Do you know, I never thought I'd say this, but I almost don't mind losing.
Oh, come on.
No, seriously, I don't remember when I've enjoyed myself so much.
Me neither, it was great.
Well done, Mr. Fry.
Oh, yes, fine bit of umpiring. Are you coming for a drink?
Oh, no, not for me, thanks.
Oh, come on, Bert, you've earned a pint.
What I've earned is a long, soaking my new bathtub.
What, at the bungalow?
Ooh, best bathtub I've ever had. You could lay right out in it without your knees being round your ears.
It's just an ordinary bath.
Ooh, you should try the one at Woodbine Cottage.
Come on, everyone. Back to the ball.
Right.
Hang on a minute, Sid.
Now, I'm not taking no for an answer.
But we were going to the cat, the Darrington team.
Oh, no, you've got to come and have a drink with us after a game like that.
Absolutely, I want to buy you all a drink.
It's just Sean and the ball. It's a bit awkward.
Oh, well, yes, of course.
What? What'd you say, Sid?
Listen. This is one of the best days of my life. And I will be proud to welcome the Darrington team to my pub. And I mean the whole team. Every last one of them.
Something smells good.
I've been making a cake and a couple of pies.
Can I make some coffee?
It's all right. I was just waiting for the kettle to boil.
Right.
You've seen my loaf tins, have you?
What do they look like?
Oh, you know. Oblong. Loaf-shaped.
Ah.
What?
I have a feeling Pip might have had them.
What for?
Her Dolly's hospital. She needed some extra cots.
Oh, no.
Do you need them now, this minute?
No, I've only just put the dough to proof. Now, coffee.
Enjoying being back in your old kitchen, then?
It's wonderful. I don't know how you cope at the bungalow. I hope Frieda won't find it as inconvenient as I did.
According to Bert, she loves it. Was there something wrong with the hot water system at Woodbine Cottage?
Not as far as I know.
Only he was going into raptures this morning about the shower.
Morning.
Oh, hello, dear. Coffee might be a minute.
Great.
Yeah, Phil said he was very impressed with the bath.
The bath?
Don't ask me why. David, use a glass.
What?
Don't drink the juice straight from the carton.
But, oh, sorry, I wasn't thinking.
Still got a sore head?
Bit, yeah. Mum, look, I'm really embarrassed about last night.
I should think so.
It was an easy mistake to make.
It's just we've been sleeping in your room all these weeks.
You don't have to explain.
I just forgot that we moved into Elizabeth's old room.
You mean you were too drunk to remember?
Yes, all right.
And you tried to climb into bed with your mum and dad.
He didn't actually get as far as climbing into bed. Unlike Nigel.
Yeah, but I woke you up. I'm really sorry.
And this is the man, Jill, who after his 40th birthday party swore he was giving up the booze.
Look, it was a very special night last night.
Yeah, you told me.
I mean, to have actually beaten Darrington in the very last...
In the very last over. Yeah, I know. You described it to me in graphic detail several times.
Did I?
Though you said one interesting thing.
What?
That Sean came for a drink in the Bull.
Really? Have he and Sid made up?
Oh, I'm afraid not, no. No, it was very noticeable. Everyone else was shaking hands and slapping each other on the back, but, no, Sean and Sid kept well away from each other.
Oh, Phil, I was just about to put... What's the matter?
I've just had the insurance company on the phone.
About Woodbine Cottage?
They don't seem to appreciate the urgency of the situation.
Well, it's not urgent, is it, now Bert and Frieda have got a roof over their heads?
What did they say?
Oh, they're still in the process of looking at the estimates.
So, no indication of when the repairs will start?
At this rate, the Fries are going to be stuck in the bungalow till Christmas.
What are you doing?
Teaching the hedgehogs to defecate.
What? I told you, didn't I, about Daniel finding this hedgehog's nest.
Oh, aren't they tiny? Mm.
Unfortunately, the mother abandoned them, so we're trying to rear them by hand.
Oh. With no very great hope of success.
Normally, their mother would teach them how to do this. You'd think it would be instinctive, wouldn't you? Daniel thinks it's wonderful. He's going around telling everyone, I know how to make a hedgehog do a poo.
Yeah, well, Daniel doesn't have to do it every 3 hours.
Every 3 hours?
Yeah, one of us has to keep nipping home from work to feed the things.
Oh, there, it's done it, see?
Oh, well done.
We should really have taken them to a sanctuary.
Why didn't you?
Daniel got horribly upset. So Shula said we'd try and rear them by hand.
You agreed.
I must have been mad. They'll probably die anyway, and then Daniel will be even more upset.
Well, we've managed to keep them alive over the weekend. I think we're doing quite well.
Oh, well, anyway, you'd better get off, hadn't you?
Sure you don't want to come with us?
Oh, no, thanks. Last place on earth I want to be this afternoon is a bell foundry.
He's feeling a little fragile. Overdid the celebrations a bit last night, didn't you, dear?
Not the only one. The Bull car park was still full of cars this morning.
Yeah, most of the Darrington team had to go home by taxi.
Lucky none of the cars got nicked or vandalised. Oh, while I think of it, does either of you know a dance caller?
A what?
For the harvest supper.
Hey?
Oh, look, I told you, we're combining the harvest supper with a barn dance to try and raise that last bit of money for the bells. Only the chap who was supposed to be doing the calling is going on holiday.
Oh, no.
What about that woman who does the line dancing?
Jolene? Oh, that's a thought. Oh, it's the sort of thing she would do, isn't it? Oh, well, we'd better make a move.
Wash your hands before you go.
Yes, all right.
Come on, get your nose in there.
I'm glad you're doing that, not me.
No, not your foot.
I'd have strangled the blooming thing by now.
Some get the hang of bucket feeding straight away, but this one...
Oh, well, I suppose I better go and get on with a bit of cultivation.
Are you safe to be driving a tractor?
Yeah, I'm right.
Your eyes look terrible.
You should see them from this side.
Everything all right?
Oh, hi, Phil.
Haven't you gone yet?
No, I'm waiting for Shula. She should be here any minute.
Well, have fun.
You sure you can manage without me and Bert?
Yeah, yeah.
Of course we can.
Makes a heck of a difference, the cow's still being out. No strawing down to do, no slurry scraping.
There you are, you see.
What?
I knew you'd come round to my point of view.
What do you mean, come round? I always agreed it was worth a try. It was Ruth who had reservations.
No, it wasn't.
You said we'd never manage without that third cut of silage.
Maybe we won't. Stop it, you daft creature.
Oh, he doesn't seem too keen on the bucket.
No. Go on, stick your tongue in it.
Actually, I've been doing some costings for the new trackway.
What?
Remember, I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, but
we
I thought...
We can do it remarkably cheaply. Builder's rubble for hardcore.
That's it, lovely.
With some limestone chippings on top.
You see, it's not difficult at all.
And if we use our own labour and just hire a vibrating roller to compact it, I worked out we can do it for no more than £8 a metre.
Oh, that's pretty cheap.
Cheap? It's got to be, what, 300 metres minimum. And £8 times 300 is...
2,400.
Yeah. Quite a lot of money.
Well, not really, if you consider...
And besides, I thought we'd agreed that we'd do a trial year before we committed ourselves to this grazing
Dad.
System.
Oh, there's Shula, I'd better go. But think about
Are
it.
Are you ready?
Yes, coming. You said yourself it was a great relief being able to leave the cows out.
Go on, Phil.
Janet's waiting in the car.
Yes, I'm coming.
Enjoy the bell foundry.
Oh, we will.
See you later.
Bye.
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 He is always doing that.
What?
Taking unilateral decisions, then bulldozing us into consent.
Oh, come on. We're only talking about a few metres of track.
And when he says we'll use our own labour, that means you'll do it, won't you, David?
And you've admitted it yourself. The new system's working really well.
Well, so far, yeah, but the weather's been pretty good.
I reckon Phil's proved his point. And if we're going down the extended grazing route, we might as well do it properly.
Has he been slipping you envelopes full of used tenors?
Oh, yeah.
Well, something's changed your mind.
Yes, David, the evidence of my own eyes.
What are they doing now?
I think they're getting all the impurities out of the metal. When it becomes molten, all the dross rises to the top and you have to skim it off. A bit like making jam, isn't it? Oh, some jam.
No, it's extraordinary. I didn't realise they cast 8 bells in one go. I imagine they do them one at a time.
Oh, it's an amazing sight, isn't it? Those 8 huge moulds all lined up.
Mm. Which ones are ours?
That one and the one on the end. Mm. I think that'll be the first one to be cast. Oh, look, look, it's moving, that ladle thing. Yes, they're going to line it up over the mould.
But that won't be enough for 8 bells, surely.
They tip that into the first 2 or 3 moulds and then it gets taken back to the furnace to be refilled. 2.5 tons of metal it's going to take to do all 8.
Oh, heavens.
Imagine how much gas it must take to heat that furnace.
Oh, it's certainly hot enough in here.
Oh, yes, look, it's definitely going to be our bell first. How do they manage to manoeuvre it so delicately, that huge great cauldron?
Practice, I expect.
Oh, it's starting to tip.
Wow, the way the metal flows. Yes, it's like... I don't know, what is it like? Golden syrup. No, what sort of fluorescent paint? Oh, but the glow! The way it glows!
It's incredible. To think that that stream of liquid fire should be transformed into something as solid as a bell.
And one last spoonful, Josh. Good boy.
I thought we'd wait till Phil gets back before we have our supper.
Right, let's give you a wipe down.
He said he'd be home soon after 8. Can you wait till then?
Oh, yeah. I don't usually think about supper till we've got the kids to bed.
We can make it later if you prefer.
No, that's okay.
There's plenty of cold lamb left.
And your hands, that's right.
And I made an apple pie this morning.
We usually just stick something in the microwave and collapse in front of the telly.
Hiya.
Evening.
Hi.
Hello, Josh. Yeah. What's that in your hair?
Tomato sauce, probably.
I am absolutely starving.
Oh, I was just saying to Ruth, I thought we'd wait at supper till your father gets home.
Right. No, that's all right. I'll make myself a sandwich.
There's a new loaf made this afternoon.
Homemade bread. Wowee.
How'd you get on this afternoon?
Yeah, fine.
You got to go and play with Pip and Daniel. Good boy.
I finished working down Upper Parks, which is good, as I promised Brian I'd go over there tomorrow.
Oh, David, could you not eat the lamb, please?
What?
I was planning on having that for supper.
Oh. I thought we were going to have...
No, Jill's got it all planned out.
There's plenty of cheese.
Right. Okay.
I thought it would be nice to all sit down to supper together.
Fine. Only, you know it's EastEnders tonight.
Oh, what time is that?
You can always record it.
Yes, except I think your father set the machine to record something on Channel 4.
Oh, don't worry about it, Jill. You can always watch the omnibus.
Now, look, I really don't want to upset your routine.
No, it's fine. Honestly, we often record it. Oh,
I'll get it. Oh,
no, it's
sorry.
Okay. You answer the phone.
This isn't going to work.
What?
Living with Mum and Dad.
Give it a chance. We've only had a couple of days.
Don't touch this. Don't eat that.
Things all settle down.
All I want to do this evening is slump in front of the telly with a pizza and a cold beer.
I know.
Not sit round the table with a napkin on my knees, listening to Dad drone on about the bell foundry.
I've already told you, Mum. She's not to take on all the cooking.
Oh, I don't mind that. No, it's just the thought of the evenings ahead with no telly, followed by cocoa and book at bedtime.
That was the police.
The police?
The red Nissan that caused the lorry to crash into Woodbine Cottage has been found, burnt out in Felpersham.
Oh, no.
So it was a joyrider.
It's terrible, isn't it? And the police seem quite powerless to do anything.
I can't wait to see the photographs.
I'll take them to be developed tomorrow. It was such an incredible sight.
Mm, I'm so glad we went.
So am I, Dad.
I never realised it'd be such a moving experience.
Mm. And wasn't it wonderful to meet all those people from other parishes?
Mm. Yes. It's marvellous, isn't it, that there's still so many people determined to keep bell ringing alive.
We must invite them to our dedication service.
Yeah. I think we're going to get invited to all of theirs.
I couldn't help thinking of Uncle Tom and Prue.
Yes, I know.
It's as if they were... Oh, I don't know.
It is the most perfect memorial for them, isn't it?
Well, it's more than that. It's as if... they were reborn in those bells. And they'll be coming home to Ambridge.
It's a week since Tom had any word from his girlfriend Kirsty, and the strain is beginning to tell.
Oh, I was just thinking about you.
Oh, yeah?
Can I ask you a favour?
No, I am not taking another note to Kirsty.
Oh, how did he know I was going
to... I told you, it was a one-off. No way am I going to make a habit of it.
Well, I'll have to phone her then.
No, Tommy.
If you won't help me.
What is so urgent that you need to tell her?
None of your business.
That you miss her and you can't bear to be without her. Well?
It's nothing to do with you.
Yes, it is. you want me to go breaching your bail conditions...
It's not really a breach.
Oh, come on.
I'm not seeing her. I'm not speaking
don't
to her.
Don't split hairs.
Please, Hayley.
No! I told you last week. I refuse to be used as your carrier pigeon.
Hello!
Oh, God.
Hi, Mrs. Woolley.
Afternoon, Gran.
Look, Tommy, the only reason I called round is to ask if you want to come for a drink this evening.
Yeah, okay.
The invitation only stands if you promise not to mention you know what.
How are you, Hayley? Haven't seen you in ages.
Fine, thank you.
Go on then, you lot.
And how's Marjorie? I've been meaning to drop in and see her.
Well, she's okay.
Has she got a date for her operation yet?
Not yet, no.
Must be soon, surely.
In you go.
Supposed to be October.
How's she coping?
I think she gets a bit frustrated, to be honest. I mean, she can hardly see to read at all now.
Oh, how dreadful.
But she's amazingly cheerful, considering. Anyway, I must dash. I've got the kids in the car. I'll see you about 7:30, Tommy.
Okay.
Bye, Mrs. Woolley.
Bye, dear.
If you're looking for Mum, Gran, I think she's in the dairy.
I'm sure I can find her. And what about you?
What about me?
Any news?
No.
Your mum told me they'd set a date for the trial.
Yeah.
And what about your girlfriend?
What about her?
Is her case going to trial as well?
They haven't set a date. According to Usha, Kirsty's finding the wait pretty nerve-wracking.
I'm sure.
I know what it's like. But of course, I'm not allowed to reassure her or comfort her. Can't even send her a good luck card.
No.
Anyway, the cows are waiting. I'd better get on.
Eddie? Did Edward say anything about being late home from school?
You what?
Edward, he should have been back half hour ago.
Oh, didn't he say something about going out with his mate?
Not to me, he didn't.
Oh, well, maybe I was supposed to pass the message on.
Oh, Eddie!
He says that he was going for a burger and out of the pictures.
But I got his tea already.
Sorry.
Birthday cake and all.
Oh, he's 15, Clary. Last thing a 15-year-old wants to sit round with his mum and dad eating birthday cake.
Oh. And you know all about what 15-year-olds want, do you?
Right, open the gate for us, will you? There's lots done.
Like getting drunk and throwing up all over the bathroom floor.
He were in a right old state, weren't he?
It's not funny.
I have to learn to hold his drink a bit better than that. You open that gate or not?
Yeah, all right, all right. Go on then, off you go, go on.
What they call a rite of passage.
Hey, what is...
For lads, getting drunk and throwing up.
Eddie, he's just 15. We were only 14 last night.
Ah, William's been drinking cider since he were 14. Look how well he's turned in.
It weren't cider, though, were it? With that blooming moonshine you and Joe been brewing.
What are you calling moonshine? That's top quality apple brandy,
oh,
eh?
Oh, I don't want to know, Eddie.
Yeah, we three quarters filled that for a
brookie. I'm not listening.
It's going to make us a good few bob, that is, after we laid it down for a while.
If you don't get arrested first. Oh, I'm talking of money.
Do we have to?
Have you been to see Mr. Aldridge about the rent?
Oh, of course not.
We're going to have to talk to him.
We're checking the post.
You what?
Come on, then. You heard.
You can't go writing cheques. You know what the bank said.
So the cheque will bounce. And then what'll happen? We'll just get a notice to pay and then we'll have another 2 months to find the money.
And what difference is 2 months going to make?
Not one more month and we'll have paid off what we owe Mike Butcher.
Oh, that's half the reason we're in this mess in the first place. You borrowing from the rent money to pay off that loan.
Oh, I had to, didn't I?
Wouldn't have had to get the loan if it hadn't been for you and your blessed money-making scheme.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Flaming forage harvester.
No need to drag
all that
off
again. And even with another 2 months, we ain't going to get all that money together.
No, this week and next, we got the snack swagger.
Oh, I wish I'd never said I'd help you with that. My legs is killing me, my hair stinks of fried onions, and I'm supposed to be working down the ball tonight.
And then something else will come up. Something always does.
Jack phoned to say he'd been delayed.
What's he doing?
I've no idea. He just said for me to come on ahead and he'd join us in half an hour or so.
How very mysterious.
He's not finding retirement at all easy. He always has to be doing something. I looked forward so much to him retiring properly. To be honest, it's been a bit difficult.
It's going to take a bit of getting used to.
If there's nothing to do, he invents things.
Why don't you get him out on the golf course?
Oh, I've tried that. But his game's all over the place at the moment. So he just gets so frustrated.
Oh, dear.
Evening, Peggy.
Oh, hello, Brian.
Oh, are you going to show Mum your new toy?
Well, nothing to show, really. I've looked all over the car. I can't find it.
What?
I've invested in a tracking device.
A what?
A security thing for the car.
Well, there's been such a spate of car crimes lately.
Oh, I know. It's terrible, isn't it?
There's this tiny transmitter that's hidden inside the car. Jolly well didn't do.
A transmitter?
Well, it's inactive at the moment. But if the car's stolen, I get in touch with the supplier and they switch it on. and it sends out this signal which the police can pick up.
Good heavens.
You must tell Jack about it, darling.
Where is he?
Oh, he'll be along in a few minutes.
You might like to get one for the Bentley.
We have a security device for the Bentley. It's called Higgs.
Oh. Well, I think I better go and make a start on the supper.
I'll give you a hand.
Ready about 8, darling, all right?
Okay.
I've never known him make such a fuss about a car as he does about this one.
It's very smart.
I'm sure he only bought it because Matt Crawford has one.
Has he really?
No one else is allowed to touch it. He won't let me drive it. Won't even let Debbie drive it. He'll trust her with his fancy combine harvester, but not with Mercedes.
How are they getting on generally?
Oh, don't ask.
He hasn't come round then.
No. He won't forgive her for taking up again with Simon.
Oh, dear.
I mean, I know he treated Debbie badly all those years ago, but if she's prepared to let bygones be bygones, then so should we.
And she's not going to break it off with Simon just because Brian disapproves.
Of course she isn't. And if he just gives Simon a chance, I mean, once you get to know him, he's really very charming.
Oh, yes, he's charming, all right.
It's such a shame. I was looking forward to it.
What?
The pantomime, pay attention.
Sorry.
I really miss not having a part last year.
Why didn't you?
You're not listening to a word I say, are you?
Yeah, I am.
Last year, Larry Lovell produced the panto, right? But he really got people's backs up and he hardly cast anyone from the village. So no one can understand how he got the job again this year.
I suppose I could post her a letter.
Thomas, I'm not telling you again.
Trouble is, her mum might pick it up.
Oh, the subject is closed.
Perhaps I could stick a note in her pigeonhole at college.
Look, I'm not going to sit here if all you can talk about is sending notes to Kirsty.
No, she only ever looks in her pigeonhole about once a term.
Did you hear what I said?
But you could go to college. I can tell you exactly which lecture rooms you'll be in.
Tommy, I don't know how else to phrase this. I am not going to act as your go-between. Now, which part of that sentence is unclear?
But Hayley,
no.
Just this once.
No!
You don't know what it's like being separated like this.
Well, in case you've forgotten, I was in love with your brother.
Oh, God, sorry.
It's not just a few weeks' separation for me. It's a lifetime. Now I'm going home.
No, don't go.
Well, I'm bored sitting here, listening to you moaning on at me. It's your own fault you're in this situation, don't forget. So for God's sake, stop whinging.
Stay and have another drink. Clary, can we have the same again?
Bye, Tommy.
No, come back.
See you around.
Oh, hell.
She gone?
Yeah.
So cancel the Coke?
Yeah, just another pint, please.
What's wrong?
Oh, nothing. She just... I just wanted her to do me a very small favour, that's all.
Oh, yeah?
Wouldn't take more than half an hour. I think I was asking you to rob a bank.
Evening.
What you doing here?
Wanted a drink.
What?
Oh, come on, Clary. I ain't stopped all day. Knackered.
You're knackered? How do you think I feel?
We're into competition. Give us a point.
No.
What?
It's no wonder we're short of money all the time. The minute you've got a couple of quid in your back pocket, you're down here spending it on beer.
Just one point.
No! Whatever money you've got, it's going towards the rent. It ain't going in that till.
I'll buy you a drink, Eddie.
No, Tommy, don't you go spending your money on him.
Please, I want to.
Tom Archer, you're a gentleman.
Give him a pint.
You heard the man. Give me a pint.
Well?
Go on.
Oh, right. But just the one.
Yeah, yeah, just the one.
Honestly, Tommy, you shouldn't be doing this. It's a thin end of the wedge, you know.
Oh, shut up, woman.
Don't you talk to me like that.
Please don't.
Sorry.
I think that's the right money. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, run along. Go on, someone wants serving down the other end.
Don't push your luck, Eddie.
Women, eh?
Tell me about it.
I mean, killjoys, a lot of them.
Yeah, well, not all.
No, not all.
But some of them.
Most of them. They have to make a drama out of every little thing.
That's right. You ask them to do the smallest little favour.
Like pulling you a punch.
And they give you such an earful.
They give you a grief, that's what they give you.
Certainly do.
Oh, cheers, mate.
Cheers.
Coffee won't be a moment.
Can I get you a brandy, Piggy?
Oh, just a small one. What's happened to Jack?
We got cornered by Alice.
Oh, no.
No, it's all right. I've warned him.
About what?
Oh, she wants a mobile phone for her birthday.
What?
We said no, of course.
So now she's trying on with Jack.
But she's only 11.
Well, several of her friends have them. They've had to ban them in school.
Oh, it reminds me, darling, I must arrange to be out tomorrow afternoon.
Oh, no, you don't.
She's having a party, is she?
Yeah. Dozen 11-year-old girls. Can you imagine?
Oh, not quite your thing.
Not at all.
Well, I'm not doing it on my own.
Well, Debbie will help you. And Alice doesn't want me there. No grown-ups, that's what she said. Although I gather she's invited Simon.
Why?
Alice has decided he's cool.
Cool?
Well, I think it's the accent.
There's another good reason for making myself scarce.
Right, I'll just go and fetch the coffee.
And rescue Jack.
Yes, all right.
Here, Peggy. One glass of brandy.
Oh, I
said a small one.
You don't have to drink it all. So tell me, what do you make of this man of Debbie's?
Oh, I think he's very pleasant.
Pleasant?
Jack thinks he's wonderful.
He's impressed by anyone with a smattering of education.
Oh, I don't think Jack's so easily fooled. And it's nice to see Debbie so happy, which at the end of the day is what matters.
But?
What do you mean, but?
Now, come on, Peggy. It's not like you to be taken in by a bit of superficial charm. What do you really think?
Well, he can be a little bit ingratiating.
Oh, yes.
He tries that little bit too hard to make you like him.
Absolutely.
Pretends to be interested in things you know he can't possibly care about.
Exactly. See, it's none of it sincere. You can't believe a word he says.
Oh, I wouldn't go as far as that.
I would. I mean, frankly, Peggy, I wouldn't trust him further than I could throw him.
Things.
Busy, thanks. I'm on my way out to Grey Gables. I just came in to buy a sandwich. Is anyone serving?
Kate. She's just in the stockroom trying to find me some wrapping paper that doesn't have fluffy bunnies all over it.
Oh.
It's Alice's birthday.
Oh, yes, of course. You'll be, how old?
11, going on 23.
What?
I asked her what she wanted for her birthday and she said a pair of Gucci loafers.
Gucci?
Look, they're designer shoes.
Oh.
Yeah, horribly expensive. I'm sure when I was 11, all I wanted was a Bundy Annual.
Don't listen to her, Greg.
Good morning, Mrs. Orridge.
When she was 11, all she could think about was ponies.
No, I didn't.
Was Kate here?
Oh, she's just in the back. Oh, she's much longer. I'm going to have to go.
And I should be getting up to Grey Gables.
Well, how are you getting on up there?
Well, it's taking a lot more time than I would have hoped.
Oh, William not pulling his weight?
Oh, it's not his fault. You know, it's just a terrible year for wandering birds.
Oh, why is that?
Well, it just happens that way sometimes. I've just figured out one point where we're losing them. It's a spot which gives a clear run down to the river, you see.
You mean the southwest corner?
Oh, hello, George.
Hello, Debbie. Just this side of the golf course.
Yes.
I could have told you that.
Well, I wish you had.
Well, that's right. It's just you're always in such a down hurry.
Well, so would you be if you were looking after two shoots with only a 16-year-old lad and his half-trained dog to help you.
Greg, you must talk to Brian.
Sounds like you'd do with a bit of help.
If you haven't got the manpower for the job...
It's not that bad.
Well, I wouldn't mind lending you a hand.
You are?
Just, well, you know, the odd half-hour life.
There you are, Greg. I'm a willing volunteer.
But, you said when you retire...
Yeah, I know what I said.
Look, sorry, I really do have to dash. Tell Kate I couldn't wait. I'll see her this afternoon.
Has she said anything to you about what she wants for her birthday?
Oh, I've given up trying to buy presents for Kate. It's never right. I'll see you later.
Yeah, see you, Debbie.
Bye, Debbie.
You said that was it. You definitely weren't going to work anymore.
Yeah, but I still take my dog out, don't I? And as often as not, we end up walking around the country park, so... If you want me to do a bit of dogging in...
Oh, that'd be a great help.
Dogging in, that's great.
No, just rounding up the birds that have strayed. Is anybody serving in this shop, or can we just help ourselves?
Hi there, gorgeous.
Been waiting long.
I just this minute arrived.
I have to say... I'm not looking forward to this.
Oh, come on. We're going to have a great time.
Given the choice between sitting in my cosy tractor cab, listening to the radio and playing party games with a bunch of prepubescent girls...
Oh, no contest.
Yeah, well, I know you'd go for the prepubescent girls, but personally...
I'm getting jealous of that tractor of yours. I think you prefer its company to mine.
Of course I do. It always does what I tell it.
So do I.
You do not.
Oh, when have I ever gone against your wishes?
This afternoon.
What have I done?
Well, you haven't done it yet.
Ah... Come on now,
and it's
now,
not
Debbie.
Too late to change your mind.
This is the perfect opportunity.
No, I think it's a seriously bad idea, Simon.
Look, you want your dad to like me, right?
Life would be a whole lot easier if he did, yes.
So I have to be open and honest with him.
No, not necessarily.
Try to break down this wall of prejudice, because that's all it is. If he'll just give me half a chance...
No, I'm coming round to the idea that it'd be better just to leave him alone.
Oh, now, come on.
You know, eventually he'll just get used to seeing you around and forget about disapproving.
Or his disapproval could deepen into downright antipathy.
No.
I don't want to risk it.
And I don't want to risk you confronting him this afternoon.
What are you afraid of?
Oh, some ghastly scene in front of Alice and all her little friends.
But that's exactly why today's the perfect time. He's not going to do anything that'll upset Alice's party.
Sure. I wouldn't bank on it.
And I've got you and your mum and your sisters all ready to jump in and protect me. So, he's kind of on his own.
Oh, and he must have been doing 80. Hit the bird with such force, it smashed his headlight and bits of it got stuck in his front grill. And, you know, he tried to claim damages off Mr. Woolley.
Talking of whom?
What?
Hello.
Oh, afternoon, Mr. Woolley.
Afternoon.
I thought you'd retired, George.
Well, what about you?
Oh, I'm only out for a stroll.
Yeah, George has just given me the benefit of his experience.
Ah, oh, we've rather a problem with wandering birds this year, and Greg doesn't know where the leakage points are.
I see.
So, George has been giving me a guided tour.
No, I'm going to lend a hand dogging in of a morning.
Ah, what does Christine have to say about that?
What do you mean?
You're going back to work.
Oh, I'm not working. I'm just helping out a bit.
Ah, do you miss it?
What?
I do. I keep setting off to go to my office and then I remember. Peggy says I'll get used to it. But I'm really not cut out for the life of leisure.
I know what you mean.
I was just taking a stroll down to Arkwright Hall.
Oh, is that old house down beyond the lake?
Yeah. It's a bit of a sorry sight, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, and that's another place your birds will wander.
Really?
Oh, there used to be a market garden just the other side.
Oh, that was years ago, when the Tregollans lived at Manor Court.
Aye, but the birds remember how it used to be a good place to feed.
What? Birds that were only hatched this spring, remember what it was?
I don't know how they do it, but they do. You go down there and take a look.
Yeah, not this afternoon. I've got a few other things I need seeing to.
Oh, anything I can help you with?
Oh, no, thank you, Mr. Woolley. It's just a question of checking up on William.
I'd best be getting home.
Do you want a lift? I've got the Land Rover just up by the lodge.
No. You get on and see young William. I'm used to walking. And it helps to pass the time, doesn't it, Mr. Woolley?
I really don't think swimming was a good idea.
Well, they're having a great time.
But it's so cold.
No, it isn't.
I mean the water. Have you been in the pool lately?
Yeah, it's lovely. None of them showing any signs of hypothermia.
And Alice does like to show off that we have a pool.
Better not let them stay in too long.
Do you know where Simon is?
Oh, he's in the kitchen with Kate. They're putting the final touches to the pizzas.
Well, I hope you frisk Kate for unauthorised herbs.
What?
Well, she has been known to slip the odd illicit substance into one's food.
Well, that's a long time ago, Brian. She doesn't do that sort of thing anymore.
Well, I think I'm going to make a break for it while everyone's happily occupied.
Where are you going?
Oh, no, Dad, no, don't rush off.
No one's going to miss me, particularly Alice.
But you've got to stay for the tea.
Yeah, but she made it perfectly clear she'd prefer her party to be a parent-free zone. So I might as well go and do a shift on the combi cultivator.
And leave me to cope on my own?
You're not on your own. You've got Debbie, and Kate, and the blessed Simon.
Actually, if you could hang on, Dad, only I know Simon wants a word with you.
What about?
I don't know exactly. I'll go and find him, shall I?
Oh, Lord.
What?
Well, he's not going to ask me for a hand in marriage, is he?
Oh, don't be so silly.
Well, why else would he want to talk to me?
If Debbie was going to get married, I doubt very much she'd ask your permission.
Well, I must say, I'm glad I know it's not just me.
What's not just you?
Thinks this fella's a shyster.
What?
You heard what Kate said just now.
When?
Before she went inside. She said he was all surface and no substance.
She didn't say that at all.
No original ideas. Doesn't have an opinion of his own.
All she said was he didn't know what he was talking about when it came to GMOs.
Which is true.
Well, why should he? He's not a farmer.
And he only ever says what he thinks other people want to hear.
What he does is he listens to other people and he doesn't argue all the time.
I know what you think, Jenny.
It's called being polite.
Well, I'm just glad that Kate at least has seen through the fellow.
Oh, dear. That could do with a drop of oil. Oh, what on earth? Where's all this mess come from? Oh, looks like someone's been having a party. How did they get in? Oh, let's have a look out the back. Oh, Lord. This door doesn't want to open either. Oh, let's see if I can just...
Brian.
Oh. Pizza's ready, are they?
No, not quite. I just wondered if I could have a word with you.
What about?
Well, the thing is, I've noticed... Well, I'd have to be pretty thick-skinned not to. That I'm not exactly your favorite person.
And you'd have to be fairly obtuse not to understand the reason.
Sure, I know, but that was a long time ago.
I really don't think this is the time or the place to be discussing this.
I just thought if we could clear the air...
It's Alice's party.
Only Debbie's finding the situation pretty hard.
We really ought to be getting those kids out of the pool before they freeze to death.
Are you saying you're not prepared to talk about it?
No, I'm simply saying not here and not now.
Right. So when?
Well, perhaps I could come to your place.
You mean to my apartment?
Yeah.
Sure, if you don't mind a trip into Portchester.
Well, when would suit you?
Well, I'm free Friday afternoon.
Right. 3 o'clock?
Fine.
Well, I'll see you then. Now, if you'll excuse me. Alice, I think it's time you and your chums got out of the pool. You're all going to be wrinkled up like little prunes.
Well, it didn't take long.
No.
Maybe about 30 seconds.
But all is not lost. He's agreed to talk to me.
Has he?
Yeah, he just didn't think this was the appropriate setting.
Oh, don't tell me. He wants you to come to his office so he can sit behind his big desk
and
give you a...
No. He wants to come to the apartment.
What?
Yeah, I think that's a very positive sign, don't you?
No.
If he was going to shoot me down, he'd do it in his own territory. But setting foot in the enemy camp, that's kind of an olive branch.
I don't want him coming to the flat. That's our space. I don't want him poking around in our life.
He won't be poking around. He'll sit on the couch and I'll make him a nice cup of
Simon,
tea.
Simon, you don't know what he's like.
Oh, I think I'm getting the picture.
No, you don't know the half of it. He said some awful things about you.
I know. You told me.
Did I?
Yeah, he can't bear the thought of my hands on your body.
No, I don't mean that.
You mean there's more?
Yeah. You see, he seems to have got this idea into his head.
No, don't tell me.
What?
I want to try to hang on to some vestige of respect for your dad.
Yeah, but he thinks...
I know why he's got a problem with me, because he can't forget what happened 8 years ago.
Yes, but he thinks you've come back.
So I've got to convince him I've changed, that's all. Easy.
Oh, a piece of cake.
Have a little faith in me, sweetheart. Mm-hmm. Now, come on, let's go and give your mum a hand feeding the animals.
Mr. Woolley?
Oh, is that you, Greg?
Oh, there you are. God, what a mess.
I was trying to open the door, and it just fell.
And you fell with it, did you?
And the glass shattered.
Can you stand up?
No, I tried to. I came over all dizzy.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
That's why I phoned you.
Yeah, well, you did the right thing. Let me just look.
Only now I've dropped the phone and I can't find it.
Oh, don't worry about that now. Let's just try and stop some of this bleeding. Mm. Now, if I put my handkerchief there, can you hold that in place?
Like this?
Yeah, that's it. Mm. Now, put your other arm around my shoulder.
You won't tell Peggy, will you?
And we'll try and get you out to the Land Rover.
Well, she'll be so cross with me.
Now, let's not worry about Mrs. Woolley. What we need to do right now is get you to a doctor.
Jack's accident is spreading around the village.
I first heard about it from Higgs.
Higgs?
Greg asked for his help cleaning the bloodstains off the Land Rover.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was quite a mess, apparently. So, anyway, I tried phoning the lodge, but Mrs. Woolley didn't seem to want to talk to me.
So, do you know what happened?
Well, Mr. Woolley came into my office yesterday and asked if I knew where the keys were to Arkwright Hall, which I didn't. But he must have found them somewhere.
Morning.
Oh, hello, Roy. You're not on duty, are you?
No, only I've got my timetable for next term.
Oh, so you want to sort out what shifts you can work?
Yeah, is this a good time?
Oh, yeah, it's fine. Should we go to my office?
It's just a minute, Caroline. You haven't finished telling me about poor Mr. Woolley.
What happened to him?
He's had the most frightful accident.
Oh, no. What happened?
He decided to have a look around Arkwright Hall.
On his own, can you imagine?
That old place down by the lake?
Yeah. He was trying to open a door which was stuck, so he leaned on it and the hinges just gave way.
Oh, my goodness.
So he fell over?
On top of the door. It had a glass panel in it, which, of course, broke.
Oh, no.
When Greg found him, he was absolutely covered in blood. So Greg, of course, thought he'd cut himself really badly. But apparently he bashed his nose when he fell, and that's where most of the blood came from.
Oh, yeah, you can bleed buckets when a nose bleeds.
Morning.
Oh, hello, Sid. Good morning.
What's all this about, Mr. Woolley?
He's had an accident.
Yeah. Higgs was just telling me, but how is he? Is he going to be all right?
It sounds as if he got off quite lightly. A few small cuts and some nasty bruises. But apparently he's looking dreadful.
Imagine the shock.
Yeah. For someone of his age.
Absolutely.
Does he actually own that old house, then?
Oh, yes.
It's a terrible eyesore.
Yeah, it is a bit, isn't it?
Yeah. I'd rather see it pulled down than left it crumble like that.
And we really should warn the guests to steer clear. I think some keep-out notices will be a good idea.
Yes, you're right. Anyway, Roy, we better sort out your work schedule.
Great.
Did you want me for something, Sid?
No. Linda will do. I've just got a booking to sort out for the license visitors.
Oh, by the way, Sid, did Chris Mills ring you?
Chris Mills?
You know, the Darrington captain?
Yes, I know who he is. Spent Sunday evening in the bull getting completely legless.
But he hasn't rung you about those two New Zealanders?
Oh, the ones who won the match for Ambridge.
What about them?
He just wanted to check that you'd actually registered him.
Hey?
You know, with the league. So you had permission to play him.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes. I'm sure we did, yeah.
It was such a moving experience.
So you keep saying.
Oh, I'm sorry, I must shut up about it.
No, no. It's just I'm kicking myself for not having gone.
Oh, keep still, Brandy, while I fix your bridle.
I never imagined a foundry would be such an exciting place.
Well, it wasn't the foundry itself. So much as seeing our bells being cast. Or rather, Uncle Tom and Auntie Prue's bells.
Oh, I'm really sorry I missed it now. It's just I thought one of us ought to stay here and keep an eye on things.
You've got to learn to trust us.
What?
Me and the girls.
What do you mean, trust you?
You're supposed to be taking things a bit easier.
I am.
That was our agreement. Once Daniel started school, I'd take on more of the teaching.
But on Monday, you weren't here.
Monday's not exactly a busy day, is it? Joanne could quite easily have coped. Now, let's get this saddle on.
Give me a minute.
Oh, yes, thanks. And I thought the plan was that now George has retired, you and he...
Theoretically.
What?
George may officially be retired, but I don't think I see any more of him than I did before.
Don't you?
Well, for a start, there's this tree warden thing.
Oh, yes, Elizabeth was saying. Been over to Lower Loxley.
About their oak tree, yes. I've heard all about it. And the latest thing is, he's back keepering at Grey Gables.
What?
Doing for nothing what he used to get paid for.
Oh, you're kidding. Oh, can you just pass the girth through?
Right. There you go.
Thanks.
He says it's just for half an hour a day while Greg Turner settles in, but if you ask me, it's the slippery slope.
Mind you, Dad's just the same.
Well, Phil hasn't retired, has he?
No, but while Mum was laid up with her knee, he let David pretty much take over the farm.
Oh, it was so sweet the way he looked after Jill.
Now he's trying to take charge again. And I get the impression David's none too happy.
How are they getting on, all living under the same roof?
All right, so far. They're all being terribly polite to each other.
Trying not to tread on each other's toes.
Exactly. But Mum and Dad do like things orderly, whereas David and Ruth are rather more, well...
relaxed?
That's the polite way of putting it. Do you know, I find it difficult to imagine how they spend their evenings. Dad's idea of a good time is playing a little Mozart, whereas David likes to put his feet on the coffee table and watch South Park.
What's South Park?
Believe me, Auntie Chris, you're better off not knowing. Oh, can you shorten that stirrup for me?
I can't imagine what you were thinking of letting him have the keys.
I didn't.
But he says he got them from the hotel.
Well, not from me. I mean, he asked me where they were, but
so
I...
So you knew he was intending to go inside?
No, I just thought... I mean, Arkwright Hall is his property. He can do what he likes with it.
That, if I may say so, is an extremely irresponsible attitude.
Well, I'm sorry, Mrs. Woolley.
Suppose one of the guests had wandered in there and got injured.
It was locked.
They could have sealed Grey Gables for thousands of pounds.
Mr. Woolley only got in because he had the key.
Apparently it wasn't difficult to get in without a key.
Wasn't it?
According to Greg, somebody had been camping out in there.
Really?
The place was littered with drinks cans and cigarette butts and girly magazines.
You mean, had somebody actually been living in there?
So it would seem.
Good heavens.
Now, in Greg's opinion, it was probably a tramp who came and went from time to time. But whichever way you look at it, the place had been broken into and nobody knew.
Well, it's off the beaten track.
Obviously, it should have been boarded up.
Yes.
So will you get it seen to?
Me?
Well, of course you. You're the manager.
At the hotel, yes, but not the entire... Oh, never mind. Leave it with me. I'll get it seen to.
And I don't mean just a few sheets of chipboard over the windows. Make sure they put a proper fence round it with razor wire.
But don't you think...
What?
It's a bit of an eyesore already. That'll make it even worse.
I don't care what it looks like, Caroline. Just make sure it's secure.
What are you doing?
Very gently, Daniel.
Like this.
Yes, that's it. Pretend you're the mummy hedgehog licking its tummy.
Shula, I'm sorry, but you really shouldn't let him handle them like that.
No, it's okay, really.
That is the first rule with hedgehogs. Don't pick them up and handle them unless you absolutely have to.
Well, we do absolutely have to.
And certainly don't let children play with them.
He's not playing.
Otherwise they become domesticated, you see, and can't readjust to life in the wild.
Daniel, explain to Mrs. Snell what you're doing.
I'm teaching the hedgehog to do a poo.
I beg your pardon.
Look, Mummy, he's done it.
Oh, well done. Now you can go back in the nest with the others. Oh, gently now. That's right.
You have to make them poo. Otherwise, they swell up and burst. Pop.
According to Alistair, anyway. Now, are they all nice and cosy in their nest?
Yes, they are.
Right. You go and wash your hands, then.
OK.
Good boy.
Well, I've never heard of that before.
What's that?
Having to make them, you know.
It was news to me as well.
I've brought you some goat's milk.
Oh, that's very kind.
Alistair said you had some already, but I thought you might appreciate an extra couple of pints.
A couple of pints would last them about a month.
Really?
We actually have to feed them a special mix of goat's milk, colostrum and multivitamins.
Oh.
So we mixed up a whole lot and froze it in the ice cube trays. Then we just defrost them one at a time.
Oh, what a good idea.
They seem to like it all right. We've had them in here nearly a week and they're not dead yet.
Anyone home?
Oh, round the back.
Well, I must be off. I'm actually on my way to see your Aunt Christine.
Really?
Ah, there you are.
Hello, Sid.
Afternoon, Sid.
Oh, hello. Sorry, I don't want to interrupt or anything.
No, it's all right. I was just on my way. I have to sort out this business of the pantomime.
What business?
I want to know exactly how Larry Lovell got to be director again this year.
I suppose somebody must have asked him.
Who?
Well, I don't know.
Well, nobody I've spoken to, and I've spoken to a good cross-section of the village. I'm hoping that Christine can throw some light on the matter. Oh, you might as well have this goat's milk anyway. Here you are.
Oh, thank you.
Bye now.
Bye.
Yeah, see you, Mrs. Snell.
I was just going to have a cup of tea. Would you like one?
Well, not with goat's milk, thank you.
This isn't for the tea.
Oh, well, I can't stop, actually. I just wanted a word with Alistair.
Oh, I'm sorry, he won't be back till about six.
Oh.
Can I give him a message?
Well, you don't happen to know if Chris Mills has been in touch, do you?
Darrington Captain? No, not as far as I know.
Oh.
Is it important?
Well, it's just, I bumped into Roy Tucker today, and he said Chris had been asking questions.
What sort of questions?
About whether those two young Kiwis we had playing on Sunday had actually been registered with the league.
Oh.
I mean, I'm sure it's okay. Duncan probably did it. Only he's on holiday and I can't ask him. So I just thought I'd check with Alistair.
I mean, fancy going into a derelict house on his own. Suppose he'd knocked himself out. Suppose he hadn't been able to call for help. We'd have none of us known where he was.
No.
I was awake half the night imagining what might have happened.
But, Peggy, it didn't. He's going to be all right.
You should have seen him when Greg brought him home.
It must have been a shock for you.
I was sure we should call an ambulance and get him to hospital. But Greg insisted it wasn't as bad as it looked.
And he knows a bit about first aid, doesn't he? Remember how good he was when Pip scalded her arm?
So we just called the doctor and Greg took him into the surgery. Dr. Hathaway patched him up and checked his heart.
And he's all right.
He's all right, yes. But as for me... Oh, Chris, I don't remember when I felt so angry with Jack.
Oh, it's understandable when you've had a fright like that.
I just had to get out for a couple of hours. Otherwise, I'd have ended up shouting at him.
Well, perhaps you should. Let him know how you feel.
Instead of which, I ended up shouting at poor Caroline.
Oh, I'm sure she'd understood.
How could he have been so foolish not to tell anyone where he was going?
But George knew.
George?
Hmm. He mentioned that Greg and he had bumped into Jack in the country park.
Oh. He's finding it so difficult to adjust to retirement. Oh,
George is exactly the same.
He just can't learn to relax.
But then, so am I, according to Shula.
What?
Well, I'm supposed to have cut back my hours at the stables, but when you live over the shop, as it were... Oh, who can that be? I won't be a minute, Peggy. Help yourself to some more tea.
Oh, right.
Oh, hello. Good afternoon, Christine. Could I have a word, you think?
Oh, of course. Come on in.
Thank you. Won't take a minute, but there's something that really needs... Oh.
Good afternoon.
Will you have a cup of tea, Linda?
No. You're obviously busy, so okay. I won't detain you. I just need to know who it was booked the village hall for this year's pantomime.
Well, really can't remember. It's so long ago.
How long?
Oh, the hall was booked immediately after last year's panto.
Was it?
Somebody... I think it was Jack, actually.
Jack?
Well, he pointed out that the hall would be in great demand round the time of the millennium, so we'd better get the panto booking in early.
So it was Jack?
Well, not just him. I remember discussing dates with Phil and Jill, and I think Marjorie Andrebus was there.
What about Larry Lovell?
No, he wasn't involved.
Aha.
But isn't he directing again this year?
I am rapidly gaining the impression that he has appointed himself director.
What?
But there's been no discussion, and I can't find anyone in the village who actually wants him to do it, whereas I have received any number of requests to take the job on.
But if he's already started...
He'll just have to be stopped, won't he?
Thank you.
Nigel's convinced that blessed tree plays some essential part in the family history.
What, Cavalier Pardus has hidden its hollow trunk from the approaching roundheads?
Well, it's not quite that old.
But are you going to be able to arrange your car park round it?
Well, we're going to have to, aren't we? Anyway, I must get back. Thanks for lunch.
Pleasure.
I'm sorry to rush off, but I really want to be there when the paintings arrive.
You don't have to explain.
And you must come and see the gallery again soon. It looks completely different since we got the screens in.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, excuse me. Hello?
It's only me.
Hello, you.
Simon.
Yeah. Look, I'm a bit busy just now,
so... I only called to say I love you.
No, it's very nice to know.
Look, it's time I was going.
Oh, no, don't rush off. Now, look, are you ready for this afternoon?
Well, I've made the bed, done the dishes, and the hoovering.
Yeah, Dad is going to be seriously impressed.
And I bought some chocolate chip cookies to offer him with his tea.
You really think he's going to sit down with you and drink tea and eat chocolate biscuits?
Yeah, sure, why not?
I wish I shared your optimism.
Do you love me?
Of course I do.
I love you too. So everything's going to be fine. Talk to you later.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Do I gather he's meeting Brian?
Latest skirmish in the long war of attrition. Oh, dear. Simon reckons if he just hangs on in there, Dad will eventually succumb to his charms.
You're not convinced?
No. When Dad makes up his mind about something, that's it. Nothing will shift him.
Well, I hope you're wrong.
So do I.
Come on in. You found the place all right, then?
I am familiar with Rochester.
Of course you are. Have a seat.
No, I prefer to stand, thank you.
Okay, fine.
How long is the lease on this flat?
The flat? It's 3 months' notice either side.
Must be quite expensive.
I can afford it.
And your contract with the university?
What about it?
How long is it?
It's a year, initially.
A year?
But it is renewable.
Under what circumstances?
Well, it's pretty much taken as read. It will be renewed, unless I screw up.
Screw up?
You know... do something reprehensible, like getting myself arrested or having a punch-up with the dean of faculty.
I see.
Which I'm not planning on doing. She's bigger than me.
What?
The dean of faculty. She's a powerfully built woman. look, why don't we have some tea?
I don't want any tea.
Coffee? Cranberry juice?
When do you think you'll be going back to Canada?
I'm not planning on going back at all.
What, never?
One thing I've learned in this life is never say never. I thought the last time I went back to Canada it was for good, but something drew me back to England.
What is it you're after?
What am I after?
Come on, Simon, let's not beat about the bush here. What do you want?
Well, right now what I want is for you and me to get along.
Really?
Yes, really. Because I don't think you realize how much this is hurting Debbie.
Don't you dare talk to me about hurting my daughter.
Please, let's not go dragging up the past.
You don't like to be reminded.
I don't need to be. I know perfectly well how badly I behaved, but... Debbie has agreed to forgive and forget.
Well, she's a damn fool.
And I promise I will never let her down again.
How many promises like that have you made in your life?
Listen, I love Debbie.
How many women have you said that to?
I know I don't deserve her, but because I blew it once, I'm absolutely determined to get it right this time around.
It won't wash, you know.
I'm sorry?
I can see exactly what you're after.
What I'm after is to spend my life with Debbie. What I want is to make her happy, that's all.
You're after the farm, aren't you?
What?
You think I can't see it?
What are you talking about?
After a lifetime as an academic, you suddenly develop a passion for the English countryside.
Why? Because I'm a teacher, I can't enjoy the countryside.
And a fascination with agriculture.
Well, Debbie's a farmer. Of course I'm going to take an interest in her line of work.
I remember your words quite distinctly. How enviable, you said, is the life of a gentleman farmer.
Oh, I was making conversation.
Oh, yeah, of course you were.
Let me get this straight. You are seriously accusing me of being after Debbie's inheritance?
Well, I have other children, you know. I mean, just because Debbie manages the farm doesn't mean it's hers by right.
The thought never entered my head.
And if you persist in your pursuit of her, I warn you, I shall have no hesitation in cutting her off without a penny.
So Linda checked with Chris, who had actually booked the hall.
I'm still not sure about this.
What?
This arrangement of the screens.
It looks lovely.
The thing is, a lot of these Cotswold pictures are quite small. I think we need to create slightly more intimate areas.
Now, don't you go heaving screens around.
No, of course I won't. Anyway, you were saying...
What?
About the panto.
Oh, well, as far as we can discover, nobody actually asked Larry to do it.
But I've seen posters.
Yes, for auditions, I know. But no one wants to work with him.
So Linda's going to stage a coup, is she?
So she says.
It's not going to work.
I wouldn't underestimate her.
No, I know, I mean these screens.
Oh, darling, I think you should wait until you've hung more of the pictures.
Really?
Well, it's so difficult to judge when there are so few up.
Yes, yeah, I suppose so.
I think it's going to look fabulous. I must bring your father over to have a look.
Oh, yes, do.
He hasn't seen it since it was an empty shell.
Why do you bring him over for tea on Sunday?
Aren't you coming to Brookfield?
Are we? Oh, of course, it's your birthday. I forgot.
I wish I could.
No, you don't.
You wait till you're 69. You want to forget as well.
How are things at Brookfield?
Fine.
I can't say I fancy living under the same roof as David and Ruth.
They're being very kind and thoughtful. Except sometimes David forgets and flings himself into your father's armchair. And then he remembers and flings himself out again. What are you doing?
Oh, I just thought I'd try about 6 inches higher up.
You're not to climb that stepladder.
Mum, it's only 3 steps.
No, Elizabeth.
It's just tiny.
You are not to go climbing ladders and you are not to go lifting things.
It hardly weighs a thing.
Now, don't be silly. You have to start taking things a bit easier.
Look, Mum, a few more weeks and I'm going to be so huge I should be completely immobile anyway.
A good thing, too. Honestly, darling, you should take more care.
Afternoon.
Oh, hello, George.
Hiya.
Is Nigel around?
Not at the moment, I'm afraid. He'll be back in about an hour.
Oh, well, never mind, you'll do. I only came to give you the news.
What news?
The county tree officer is going to put a preservation order on your oak tree.
Oh, you weren't thinking of cutting it down, were you?
No, of course we weren't.
Well, you did say you wanted it shifted for your car park.
Before we discovered how old it is.
1657, that were planted.
Yes, we know.
According to the dendrochronologist.
The who?
Tree specialist from the university.
1657?
Oh, astonishing, isn't it?
That's even older than the house.
Nigel went along to the county archives to see if he could find out any more. And you know, they dug out this old etching from 1840-something.
Oh!
And it shows the oak already fully grown, with a huge great canopy, which, of course, it hasn't got any more.
Fascinating, eh?
Isn't it?
Yes. We're still left wondering what to do about the car park.
Why didn't you ring me?
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I just thought...
I was in a state of shock. I was actually shaking. I still am.
Oh, my love, come here. Oh.
I had to go out and walk in the park. I nearly bought a pack of cigarettes. I haven't smoked in 15 years.
To try to warn you.
I just couldn't believe. I mean, I thought if I could just get over to him, how much I really care for you. How I want to spend my life with you.
Oh, Simon.
But he'd come round, you know? But I just came up against this wall. And I couldn't get round it or over it. Just this solid wall of implacable hatred.
Oh, he doesn't hate you.
Well, that's what it felt like.
Well, what exactly did he say?
He accused me of only being interested in you because you stand to inherit the farm.
Oh.
You knew?
Yeah. He's brought it up before.
Why didn't you tell me?
Well, I did try, but... Well, frankly, I just find the suggestion so ludicrous.
Oh, of course it's ludicrous.
I was embarrassed to tell you.
But he believed it.
Oh, he can't. Not really.
Oh, yes, he's perfectly serious. And what's more, if I persist in seeing you, he's going to cut you off without a penny.
He never said that.
Those were his exact words.
I don't believe it.
Well, neither did I. I was stunned. I'm afraid I laughed.
Well, the best response, if you ask me.
That just made him even more mad.
I'm not surprised. How could he?
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, stop apologizing. It's not your fault.
Well, I thought I was going to make things better talking to him. Instead, I've just made everything 10 times worse.
No, you haven't. Well, at least we know where we stand now.
What are you doing?
Well, I have to go back to Ambridge.
Oh, no, Debbie. Don't leave me.
Simon. I love you, okay?
Do you?
You know I do. Now, don't go away. I'll be back in about an hour.
Thing is, Jenny, I can't forget how sick she was when she was a baby.
You mean her heart problem?
Of course, Elizabeth doesn't remember it at all.
Well, it was all sorted out, wasn't it?
There might still be some residual weakness. I asked the doctor about it.
What did he say?
Oh, he made the usual reassuring noises. Said the hospital were fully aware of her history and they'd be keeping a very close eye on things.
Oh, I suppose with it being twins, it's more of a strain on the system.
Well, that's it. I remember what it was like. She's quite big already. Mm. Looks more like 8 months than six.
Oh, Brian, there you are.
Hello. Afternoon, Jill.
Brian,
where have you been?
Borchester, I told you.
Oh, it's time.
No, I took the Mercedes for a bit of a spin afterwards.
David's very jealous of your new car.
Oh, so he should be.
But you saw Simon?
Yes.
Well, how did it go?
Fine.
Look, it's time I was getting home.
You don't have to rush off, Jill.
No, I'm not.
I don't think it's exactly a state secret. I don't think much of Debbie's boyfriend.
Oh, Brian, I've got to get supper for the family.
You didn't have a row with him, did you?
No, no, not at all, no. We had a full and frank discussion.
Really?
Yes, cleared the air.
Thank you very much for the tea, Jenny, but I must be off, Dad.
Oh, Debbie.
Hello, dear.
What do you think you're playing at?
What do you mean?
I was just leaving. Bye, everyone.
Oh, I don't know how you can behave like that.
Like what?
Like you're in some Victorian melodrama.
Oh, don't talk rubbish.
He's going to disinherit me, Mum, did you know?
What?
Yes, he's going to cut me off without a penny.
Oh, Brian, you didn't say that, surely.
Now, listen to me, Debbie. I admit I don't like the man.
Oh, surprise, surprise.
But since I seem to be in a minority of one, I was prepared to tolerate him.
Since when?
But then I talked to your grandmother.
What?
And she said she wouldn't trust him further than she could throw him.
I don't believe you.
But Mum really likes him, she told me.
And then I spoke to Kate, who thinks he's completely without principle.
Oh, she never said that. You're putting words into her mouth.
So it's not just me, you see.
Oh, yes, it is.
There are plenty of other people have serious doubts about the fellow.
Even if any of that was true, even if Gran and Kate really didn't like him, I wouldn't give a damn, because it's none of their business, and it's none of your business either.
I'm only trying to protect you, darling.
Oh, well, stop it. I don't need your protection. I'm a grown woman. And I refuse to stay here and listen to any more of your stupid threats and your ludicrous prejudice.
Debbie, where are you going?
I'm going upstairs to pack some things. And then I'm moving in with Simon.
The Archers was written by Caroline Harrington, and the agricultural story editor was Graham Harvey. It was directed in our Pebble Mill studios by Kerry Davis, and the editor is Vanessa Whitman.